Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio.
Welcome. The Donald on a Kitchen show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. More information can be found at www.themuckyduckpub.com or from Marcus at telephone number 232-8888.
This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. And we are part of a really fine organization called KHOI Community Radio. We're coming to you from Ames, Iowa. If you would like to find out more about this fine radio station, and if you would like to support this fine radio station, which gets by from people supporting us just like you, go to www.khoifm.org. This radio station goes on 24/7, Donna. You can listen any time of the day, and you can find out more at that website. And also, there is a donate button. Become a member, because being part of this organization keeps us rolling. We are thankful for KHOI, because this is the thankful season.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always should be the thankful season, but we have one day in particular where we emphasize this. So
here we are. We've got Thanksgiving is coming up, and it may be a bit different for some of you folks out there this year, but we can still be thankful. No sense in letting a good opportunity like that go to waste. First, I have a Donald on a Kitchen news item. Tick a tick, tick a tick, tick a tick, tick a tick. That's our Donald on a Kitchen ticker tape, and we get all kinds of interesting stuff for our ticker tape. So, Iowa turkeys are going to be part of the White House Thanksgiving this year. Every year, the turkey people, you know, the turkey lobby or whatever happens out there, make sure that the president and his family get to have turkey. So they send turkeys, not just one turkey, but two turkeys to the White House. And ever since the Kennedy administration, those turkeys have been sort of let off the hook.
Both of them.
They said,
I mean, they could eat one and let the other one go.
I don't understand why. I mean, we're eating turkey all over the place, but I suppose once you get, you know, official cameras going off and everything, hearts are warmed, and the turkeys are traditionally given a pardon. This year, the producers of the turkeys are Iowa people. Ron and Susie Cardell of Walcott, Iowa, raised the official turkeys, and they were sent to the White House. And guess what? This is even a good another little bit of news here. They get to stay in the Willard Hotel. They've been flown to the Willard Hotel in Washington D.C. And I don't know. I hope they put some plastic on the floor or something. But there they are. There's actually a picture of them in the paper. And this year, the names of the turkeys are Corn and Cob.
I think they should have been Corn and Soy.
It could have been.
Right. Why not? Last year's were Bread and Butter.
They come up with such good names. I wonder if they've ever been named Giblets and Gravy. That's a good one. But anyway, turkeys, because we're coming up onto Thanksgiving, and congratulations to the Iowa farmers, Ron and Susie Cardell.
And then the turkeys are coming back.
Oh, yeah.
To live out the rest of their days at ISU.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I wish them a good trip and have them have a good Thanksgiving out there in the White House. And then, they can come home and tell us all about it. Maybe we should have them on the show.
Okay.
All right. There we go. So there's the turkey news for today. Now, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving today, and we're also going to get around to talking about some Indigenous American food, because we should be thankful for what we have right here. And we're going to start out the program with concentrating on the giving part of Thanksgiving. We're going to talk to Ingrid Anderson.
Yes, Ingrid Anderson is my neighbor, and she does this every year. It's the Alternative Gift Market. So, Ingrid, welcome to the show, and tell us, what is the Alternative Gift Market?
Well, thank you very much. The Alternative Gift Market is that you give a donation that helps people out of poverty or help our environment. And then you present this to your loved ones in honor of them.
So what, you get a little card that says what their gift is or something like that?
Yes, you can choose to get a card, and you will get a little insert that explains the particular gift you have chosen.
So tell us what some of the kinds of gifts are, for example.
Yes, I looked up some. This year they have new and interesting causes. And in order to help, because it's extra hard for people in poverty, for example, during the COVID pandemic. Uh-huh. So there is one, for example, manage fires, protect wildlife habitats in Australia. And another one in the Philippines, healing trafficked and exploited children. Mm-hmm. And then help for future nurses in Vietnam. Those are the
all worthy causes. There's a lot of need in the world right now, right? And then also there's a local aspect to it, Ingrid. Tell us about that.
So that's our little Ames Alternative Gift Market that we have this year, seven local Ames charities, and they are Access, Bethesda Food Pantry, The Bridge Home, Good Neighbor Emergency Assistance, Habitat for Humanity, Food at First, and the Ames, Uganda.
Uganda project. Right. So if somebody has to give a gift or wants to give a gift to their person who has everything they could possibly need, this is a great way to do it. And if you should want to do this, how do you do it?
Well, you can go to alternativegifts.org online and purchase a gift there. And if you do, please tell them that we sent you Ames Alternative Gift Market, because if we gather enough money, we can get a gift to give to one of our local charities. So we encourage that you make it clear that it came from us. Or you can also pick up a catalog here in Ames at Weedsfield, and they will be there between November 30th and December 23rd. And in there, you'll find a shopping list. On that shopping list, our local charities will be listed as well. And you can also just call me, Ingrid, and I will send you a shopping list over the email or by snail
chocolate
mail.
Chocolate ganache.
Oh, it's kind of like thick frosting.
Usually you guys are kind of about town telling people about making presentations. But for the COVID, you're going to do this with your phone number, which is 515-441-2135. That's Ingrid Anderson. Or your email, ingrideba@me.com.
Correct.
So people can call Ingrid if they want to know how to do the local gift giving. That's very good of you, Ingrid, to always take on this project.
Thank you. Yes. it makes Christmas a little more Christmassy for me.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it goes long enough that you can do last minute shopping too, right? Yes. Up till the 23rd of December. That's good because...
And it's no touch, and you can do it safely. And and it's a way for you to give a gift in a more meaningful way that help as well as gifting your
friend. especially with the local charities. So every place that they're doing this picks their own local charities to give to. Is that how it works?
I don't think all places do, but we in Ames have done so. So, and
we're special.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, thank you, Ingrid, once again for doing that. And that is alternativegifts.org.
Yes.
And Ingrid, give your number and your email again.
Okay. 515-441-2135. And Ingrid, like my first name, Ingrid, and initials eba@me.com.
There we go.
Good. Mm-hmm. This seems a very good way to do Christmas this year. I've done alternative gift market, and I tell you, wrapping up a Christmas card is a lot easier than sometimes wrapping up some other things. People do appreciate being part of something bigger than themselves. When we think of all the events and disasters around the world this past year, it seems that one after the other, I almost forgot about the wildfires in Australia. That's just one of them. And now all sorts of, from fires to hurricanes, we've got all kinds of things to be concerned about. Besides things in our very own area. So good. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Ingrid. Sets us off into the holiday mood right away. Doing for others.
Yes, it is. Great.
And I must say thank you to you for having me and supporting Alternative Gifts. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
Great. Well, we're going to talk more about holiday thoughts and holiday meals. And as you mentioned before, Donna, the size of turkeys somehow got slapped upside the head this time of year. We usually think, oh, we're going to get this big, big bird and have
25 pounds. Oh, is it going to fit in the roaster? Maybe not.
But guess what? We're having smaller Thanksgivings this year, and that's kind of hit the turkey producers.
Well, I did read another article that said for small independent farmers who usually grow smaller birds, this has been a boon because now they have the right size bird. Whereas the larger turkey producers, you don't grow a turkey in 5 minutes. They've been working on this for months. So some people, if you've got too big a turkey, I guess you might as well cook it and freeze half of it or something.
Yeah. Well, leftover turkey is one of my favorites. I like turkey.
Yeah, but there is a limit to how much leftover turkey one can deal with, right? Without a freezer.
Ingrid, are you having turkey for Thanksgiving this year?
No, we are having actually duck breast.
Ah, much more manageable size, right?
Yeah. And it's quite good too with a la orange, duck a la orange. We like
classic presentation. Yeah.
Good. Well, I happen to like, any kind of poultry would be good, or actually any kind of meat. Donna said,
we decided, we went and bought some nice, really nice grass-fed steaks, and we're having Steaksgiving.
Sounds good.
Perfect.
Yep, we thought we'd have a steak with mashed potatoes and then pumpkin. We'll talk about the pumpkins later in the show. We've got to have something traditional, though.
Of course, but no matter what kind of stuff, there are certain things that I always like for Thanksgiving, And for years I have been making this. I like to always make cranberry relish, and I like, everybody's got their own recipe, of course, but I've been making ever since I listened to public radio way back when I first started working. Oh, heaven knows, we're talking many decades ago. There was an announcer on NPR called Susan Stanberg, and she always gave her family's cranberry relish recipe. And she didn't exactly have a cooking show, but she always trotted this out as part of the news program. This is Susan Stanberg's cranberry relish.
And it's really easy.
Yeah. 2 cups fresh cranberries, 1 small onion, 1/2 cup sugar, 3/4 cup sour cream, and get this, 2 tablespoons horseradish. And I would suggest go heavy on the horseradish. I usually put in more than that because I like it, because the idea of sour cream, horseradish, and cranberries together is really, really good. Now, there's a little trick to making that, and you have to make it the day ahead, or at least a couple hours ahead of serving it. Grind the cranberries and onions together.
What, in like a food processor?
A food processor is good. And then you add the other stuff, the sugar, sour cream, and horseradish, and you freeze it. Freeze it, you wouldn't think, but it turns into this wonderful pink stuff. And this freezing makes all of the ingredients kind of meld together, and it's quite tasty. And another thing, set your timer or make yourself a note, because 2 hours before serving, take this out of the freezer. You don't want a block of pink looking ice cream. You want it to be kind of semi-mushy. Can be cold and kind of, you know, break it up with a spoon, but it's good. And it's good as leftover too. The freezing of this cranberry relish.
And no cooking involved.
Oh, no cooking.
No heat.
No anyway. Cooking. That's good. And if you didn't get all of that, this cranberry relish recipe, Susan Stanberg's cranberry relish recipe, is available on the Donna Lana Kitchen website. That's go to www.khoifm.org and go to the talk section. Huh? We're part of the talk
radio.
Talk radio here. And you can find Donna Lana Kitchen, DLK. We've got all kinds of, we've got past shows. There's a picture of us. And there is a recipe page. And there is cranberry relish. There's other stuff there too. Another thing that we are currently thankful for is Helen's Bread. Tell us about Helen's Bread.
Oh, yeah. So Helen Gunderson loves to bake bread, and she's quite good at it. But Helen is a very thorough person. So, and she loves local food. So she buys local wheat berries and grinds her own flour. So she gifted us, and Lana and I had for dinner last night, her latest recipe for breadsticks. And she also makes focaccia. She bakes a lot of this for Food at First sometimes too, because she's big on giving back to the community. But she has a new, you know, Lana and I talked a lot about how we preserve our winter, our foods from, because Helen also has a big urban garden. So she this year decided to freeze dry a lot of her vegetables. So she made a mix of freeze dried tomatoes, peppers, and maybe onions. I've forgotten what. So she freeze dried all these, then she powdered them, and then she put them into the bread, the focaccia. It was delicious.
Actually, yes. Now she dried them and then froze them, or froze
no.
them?
No, no, no. She didn't freeze them. She
just dried.
She dry dried them. Sorry. So she dried them and then pulverized them, ground them up. So it's, you know, like when you buy onion salt or something, but this was straight tomatoes and peppers and onions, I believe. And she just put that right into her bread mix.
Now, you think that kind of reconstitute and make it all soggy, but it just made it real tasty. It was very good.
It was very good. So way to go, Helen. We approve of your new recipe. And sometime we'll have to have further discussions of it. But thanks for the breadsticks and the focaccia last night. We had them with Two things. We did an omelet with truffle cheese because truffle cheese is available in the stores now. And it's one of the nicest ways when you can't really get good truffles. We don't really get them here in Iowa, but the truffles that are incorporated into cheese hold their aroma really well. So my favorite thing to do, well, other than just eating it because it's delicious, is to grate the truffle cheese into some scrambled eggs. Yeah, it's really yummy. Didn't you like that?
I was good.
Yeah. So it's truffle season, it's chestnut season, it's squash season. And the other thing we did was brown butter sage in the potato soup. We had talked earlier about a way you can make the sage last longer. So I picked it maybe a month ago and I fried it up in a lot of butter. You fry it till it's really, really dark in color. And then you just kind of pour it into a container, stick it back into the fridge, and then you just pull some out when you want to eat it. So it's good on pasta, and it was really good in the potato soup. And I imagine it would be quite good, like if you wanted to baste a chicken for Thanksgiving, or you could put it in your stuffing to get your sage flavor. So we're enjoying those sage and truffle flavors this time of year.
Yeah, I also want to mention, we don't have truffles here, but you can get them as a special taste this time of year in the grocery store. But there are a lot of native mushrooms, and if you know, or if you know somebody who knows, never turn down someone that shows up at your back door and says, "Here, I found these for you." I've learned to be less squeamish about eating things that people just say, "Here."
Here, I found this.
No. Because it's usually pretty darn good. There have been oyster mushrooms this time of year and some hen of the woods and some pheasant back mushrooms. And if you get them young enough, especially oysters or even golden oyster mushrooms, they're past now, but you can get them in the fall. I thought mushrooms just came in the spring when the morels are up. But oh, no, there's many more. And when you get them, of course, eat them as much as you want. But if you happen to have too many, those are another item that dries really well. I've got a electric food dryer, nothing fancy. I think I got it at a garage sale, a food dryer. And I cut up one nice thing about when you dry things, you want to make sure the chunks are kind of all the same size so that everything dries about the same. Leave them in the food dryer, and the mushrooms dry really quickly. I put my food dryer out on my back porch because it does sort of hum and make noise. I don't want that in my house, but just right outside the back door. And then stir things in a mason jar in the dark. Do not leave this out on the kitchen counter. But dried mushrooms are a nice thing to add to.
All of these things could go in the stuffing.
And we've been talking about some eggs and whatever. You've got that really nice earthy taste of mushrooms. Oh, yes, because it's really nice to add to this. And like Donna and I mentioned last week on the show, we talked about the fresh garden vegetables kind of not being right out the back door anymore. So there's all of these things that we've kind of put away on our kitchen, and we put them in our pantry.
Yeah, and now we have all winter to eat them.
Oh, yes. So we'll get back to you on what's in our jars and it'll things packed away. And do label things, folks. I've learned very much that even things you put in your freezer, please label them. You swear you're going to remember what they are, but one doesn't. And it's kind of hard to pull out something out of the freezer and think you're going to have hamburger and know you've got a bunch of heaven knows what. And
mystery things.
See, that's a thing to be thankful for, too. We've got so much going on and so much stuff in our freezer. So think of others. Think of giving to others. This is the time to be generous and be thankful for what we have. You're listening to KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. We are back. This is the Donald on a Kitchen. We're talking about giving Thanksgiving, giving to others, and giving of ourselves. And although this might be a strange Thanksgiving for some, we all know what we're thankful for. For some, Thanksgiving is, well, it used to be, overeating and football and Black Friday. And people are, remember all those years that we complained about having to go and sit across the table from our Uncle George? We would rather not be there. Well, this year, maybe we don't have to be there.
Yeah, and we hope Uncle George is still with us.
But we hope so, too. Gathering with families can be a trial, but we do it. We think it's a tradition, and it is an American tradition. Actually, Canada has a Thanksgiving, and there are harvest celebrations all over the place. I think it's best if we think of it as a harvest celebration, because the Thanksgiving that we always were told about in grade school, we're learning that there are some unpleasant overtones.
Yes, and this year made very the political and sociological understanding of Black Lives Matter should also bring into focus that our Native Indigenous populations have experienced a lot of trauma and racism, and that the I'm going to quote this guy who calls himself the Sioux Chef, S-I-O-U-X Chef. He says on the traditional Thanksgiving story, in reality, Thanksgiving has nothing to do with Native Americans and everything to do with the lies we've been told. The non-Native people perpetuate the sanitized story of Thanksgiving, but it is such a slap in the face of Indigenous people. This story of a peaceful feast among colonizers and tribes ignores the centuries of land grabbing and annihilation. So Lon and I we watched what is his name? The Sioux Chef. He's from Minneapolis. Sean Sherman. He won a 2018 James Beard Award for his cookbook, The Sioux Chef's Indigenous Kitchen. He also is opening, I think, a restaurant in Minneapolis that features Indigenous foods. And he talks about, the founder and CEO of The Sioux Chef, an organization that focuses on decolonialized regional foods and avoids pre-contact ingredients like dairy, wheat, or processed cane sugar. So this language of calling it decolonialized regional foods and pre-contact ingredients, those are interesting ways of speaking about some of the issues. Lana and I watched a film last night called Gather, which is described as, Gather is an intimate portrait of the growing movement amongst Native Americans to reclaim their spiritual, political, and cultural identities through food sovereignty while battling the trauma of centuries of genocide. And there were a lot of stories in the movie. The most one that's oriented to our part of the country is, of course, the Plains Indians and the decimation of the buffalo herds, and how the native populations of the plains were basically a genocide, because they eliminated not only their food source, but the buffalo was their source of housing. And, you know, they built their teepees out of buffalo hides. They made their clothing out of buffalo, a lot of uses of this animal. So by killing millions and millions of buffalo, there's only 10% of the native population is left that survived this genocide, you know, because really America is it's a colonized nation, and the native food ways were eradicated in a lot of senses. So this story of the pilgrims celebrating and all of that thing, it's not a good story to be celebrating. However, Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to remember to be thankful. And we do all personally and collectively have a lot to be thankful for. This year we can start with, well, those of us that are still alive and
COVID healthy
have a lot to be thankful for. So the holiday itself is a wonderful non-religious holiday of gratitude. But, you know, let's put aside this glorious idea of how good the colonists were to the Native Americans. That is just not true. Okay.
We have a lot of soul searching to do in a lot of different ways. And yes, it makes many of us very angry. But I don't know, the truth isn't really all that bad. I think we should like deal with it. Yes, we should. You mentioned buffalo, and buffalo, the concept of buffalo in this movie that we saw, Gather, there are people that are reintroducing buffalo to the Great Plains. And guess what? They do quite well there because that's their home. Buffalo don't generally have the kind of problems that cattle do, getting through those harsh winters and lean times when the rain doesn't come.
No, buffalo is, it's good for the land, the way that the herds travel and fertilize and break up the ground with their hooves, and they are the original grass-fed red meat, and the fatty acid profile of range-fed buffalo is super, super healthy. Really, really good for you. There are places around town you can buy usually ground buffalo meat. Buffalo is there was a period in my life where I lived in Wichita, and there was a lot of buffalo available, and it can be a little tough. So, but when you grind it like a hamburger type of, it tastes just like the best possible ground beef, and is a wonderful person food for people who, for example, might have heart disease and are worried about their cholesterol, as is grass-fed beef as well. And we have some buffalo growers in Iowa.
Ah,
you can get it here.
Ah. So think of that. We don't always have to go along the same route on our menus all the time. Buffalo is a good alternative. Getting back to this movie, Gather. It covered a couple of different Native American reservations around, actually pretty much in the western part of the United States. But some of the interesting things they talked about, there's some of this awareness of past wrongs and possible alternatives for the future is hitting some of the younger people in these tribes. And I remember one of them turning toward the camera and saying, have you ever heard of food deserts? Yes, we usually think of food deserts as a place in a big city where there isn't a grocery store. And I said, well, I think you'll find, especially on Native American reservations, there's maybe a convenience store, but there is no grocery store and no fresh food. He said, no wonder we're having trouble, because when my friends go out or when our friends gather, it's really easy to buy beer here, but not fresh food. And so they are experiencing food deserts too. Have to remember that we're talking about food as a commodity that depends on if you have money, not that you have a right to feed yourself, not that you have a right to exist, but you have to be able to afford this stuff. And somehow we've shortchanged the Native Americans on our reservations by a whole lot. And shout out to all of the folks that voted in this last election. Maybe there are some things that might change.
Yeah, we hope so. There have been some headlines that the Arizona election was moved heavily by tribal votes toward, into the Democrat column. So, President-elect Biden, we expect you to support the Native Americans.
Yes, I'm sure he's going to listen,
right.
listen to our show, too.
That's right.
All gone better.
We'll let him know if he doesn't.
That's one thing about this turning over of leadership. It's fine. Okay, you got the guy up on top there, but this is still the United States, and our job as citizens is to keep making noise. I'm going to keep making noise. That's good. We have things to do, and a lot of it has to do with our food systems and things that are equitable for our farmers and for the consumers.
Yes, we're all waiting with bated breath to see who the next Secretary of Agriculture is going to be.
That's going to make a big difference. Because remember, Sean Sherman, the sous chef, S-I-O-U-X, talks about using things that are native, things that grow here. And European wheat is an import, and sugar is an import. There are places that are trying to look into other things besides these interlopers like us, these immigrants that came in. There's a place in Kansas called the Land Institute that is trying to get us to be a little bit more native. But that they don't mean that we have to turn into Native American tribes, but it means to be more comfortable in the place that we are at. And I wonder how long it's going to take before we consider ourselves native to where you live. What can you think of that you can eat, that you can consume, that you can support yourself on just in your neighborhood or even in your county? Do you know a farmer? Huh? That's a good start. Do you have something growing in your yard or during the growing season? Where does your food come from? It's kind of important to know these things. Another thing that they talked about in this movie,
Gather,
was the hope for the future. And the same young man that talked about food deserts and the ease of buying beer on his reservation.
And candy,
but not fresh food. He kind of summed up a talk about things for the future this way. He said, the Industrial Revolution is over. Think about that. It's time to be part of the regenerative revolution. And he also said, be sure to get your hours in. We all have work to do. And regenerative means making things better that can be
grow again,
in your community. The show Gather also covered the startup of a small business. Well, it was pretty fancy. They started this fancy restaurant, but this Native American cook chef in Arizona, put together. They kind of got stuff together and took over a gas station, which I thought was a former convenience store. This is a good thing, and they made a restaurant using these indigenous things.
You know, the Meskwaki Reservation over near Tama also has a very large food initiative. And Lonnie and I are going to try to talk to their food coordinator and have a radio show about that, because we've got a good amount of this going on here in Iowa, too.
Yeah, it's time we start exploring and maybe kind of ridding our bodies, or at least giving our bodies a break from some of the things that we think are we just have to have, sugar and Coca-Cola and heaven knows what. And maybe we can have something better. I mentioned that even at traditional powwows that people gathered for, and in this movie, he said, well, what do people do? They go out and dance, they do these rituals, and then they take a break for soda pops and
eating.
Of course you're going to eat, but a lot of sugar, which leads to a lot of health problems.
Right. It is well established that the rates of incidence among our Aboriginal people, actually in many parts of the world, is very, very high, because they've been deprived of their native diets. And they, have a lot of high rates of heart disease, high rates of diabetes, high rates of alcoholism. And this is actually attributable to not to bad character, folks, but because they cannot have access to good, healthy foods. So there, a lot of people are working to fix this.
Right.
And this applies to all of us. We should be restricting kind of, you know, we're going to have our sweets for the holiday. There's no doubt about it. But I myself am much more mindful about not having as much sugar in my diet.
Right. What is the native, what is the indigenous diet for our bodies? What do our bodies really need as opposed to what do we want? What do we crave? What have we been told that we crave? I just want to get back to Black Friday and the idea that one of the most fun things you can do for the holiday is to spend a lot of money at the Black Friday sales, which I guess this year, we're not even Black Friday. We're like black for a whole bunch of weeks because
it's just started already.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I mean, here we are on the downturn to the holidays, and this idea of consuming, it has something to do with hunger, folks. Hunger, and I don't know if buying something and having it delivered by Amazon is necessarily going to feed our hunger when it comes to feeling good about being an American, feeling good about being a human being on this planet. Oh boy, thinking about what the real meaning of Thanksgiving is. So remember, the Industrial Revolution is over, according to a young man from Apache tribe, I believe he was talking about. Oh, was it the, no, there was another bunch of young men that were also up in Northern California.
The Klamath River Valley and Apache White Mountain. They were a lot in the movie.
Think salmon. There's also things they're doing to the rivers. And remember he said the Industrial Revolution is over. Time to be part of the regenerative revolution. So be sure to get your hours in.
Well, speaking of sugar, I am making Thanksgiving Day pumpkin things.
Oh, I'm glad.
But I am using something it's a new old heritage seed, right? So it's an old seed, but it's newly reintroduced to the market. It is called the Algonquin pumpkin because it is from the original tribes in New England. And it's a kind of cute looking thing. It grows like a zucchini. You let it get really big. And then while it's still green, you pick it and it turns orange slowly during storage and it sweetens up. So you can buy these Algonquin pumpkins now at Wheatsfield. So I've bought a couple of them and I am making a pumpkin cobbler, which the recipe is on our recipe archive page. So the pumpkin cobbler is basically, it tastes just like pumpkin pie, but instead of making, rolling out a crust and stuff, this you can just make it in a big Pyrex bowl and it's a pourable crust. So I'm going to make that and I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try some pumpkin panna cotta. I'll let you know how that goes. So I am making dessert.
That's it. That's good.
Yep.
And Algonquin, it is a nice looking thing. It's a
I decided to do, because I realized I really wanted pumpkin pie and I thought, well, there's only three in my household, and I thought, well, if I make the whole pie, I'll probably eat the whole pie. So then I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to bake it all on Wednesday, and then Thursday I'm going to package it up and I'm going to be delivering. Lana will have some on her front porch. Ingrid will have some on her front porch. So I'm spreading it around amongst my friends. So not everybody has to bake the pumpkin dessert. They'll just have it delivered. So that's what I'm doing to make myself thankful on the holidays. I'm very thankful for my community and our friends.
Very good. Fantastic. This is KHOI, and this is the Donalana Kitchen. You can find out more about the Donalana Kitchen at www.khoifm.org. We have been talking about food and other stuff here on this radio station for 6-7 years now. Huh? Oh boy, who would have thought?
And every year we talk about the cranberry recipe.
Yeah, you can count on us. You can count on us. And you can go to that website for more information about us. And you can go to this website to support this radio station. There is information on becoming a member there. Remember, this is community radio. And many of us, most of the producers here, are local volunteers. We volunteer to get on the radio and talk to you, and we do it because we love it. Volunteers put on these shows, and there's quite a wide variety because things are our passion. You think you wouldn't be able to talk in front of a microphone, but when it's something that you love, farming, food, you kind of do tend to ramble on, and we do. So there we go.
And we thank our audience for bearing with us, right? We hope it's at least funny sometimes, right?
Oh, good. So let's listen to a little bit more music, and then we'll be back with more about the holidays. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about things to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for things in my refrigerator. This past week, or the last week, I made a peanut butter cookie recipe, but it wasn't the usual peanut butter cookie recipe. I got a recipe from Cookie Love, Mindy Siegel, by Mindy Siegel. She has great cookie recipes. And I made her peanut butter thumbprint cookies. Now, she used strawberry lambic jam, but being thankful, I had a whole refrigerator of leftover jams left. And so making thumbprint cookies means that you put this little dent in each cookie and you can drip a little bit of jam in there. And that's a nice way to make a cookie. This peanut butter thumbprint cookie is basically an icebox cookie, which means you make it the night before. It's got butter, sugar, brown sugar, peanut butter, one egg, vanilla flour, baking powder, baking soda, salt, and some extra sea salt flakes, which kind of makes it really nice and crunchy looking. But that is a really rich peanut butter cookie recipe, and that is rolled into logs and sit overnight in the refrigerator to firm them up, and then take them out of the refrigerator, cut them into cookie size shapes, and in this case,
and stick your thumb in the middle, right?
In this case, you dip them in ground up beer nuts or peanuts, salted peanuts. Huh. So that kind of made a nice crunchy outside, and then you put cookies in there, and I kind of like those.
They
cookies.
Were certainly delicious.
Kind of like those cookies. That was a good thing to have. Good.
Yeah, like so, when I'm going to have sugar, I want it in something really good. I don't want any mindless, you know, junk candy. But as homemade cookies, that's a different story.
It's a treat. It's a treat. So thankful for things in the refrigerator because there's always some sort of little jar in there of, I like making jam and jelly. So there's jam and jelly. Well, we want to thank Ingrid Anderson today, and she told us about the giving part of this Thanksgiving season. She talked to us about the alternative gift market. To contact that gift market.
Oh, right. It's you can call Ingrid, and she gave her phone number, or you can go to alternativegifts.org.
Right.
And if you pick something international, do mention to them that you are from Ames, though, because there is some giving back to the Ames charities as well.
That's a good thing. We can all pass on some of our caring internationally and even locally. There are people that need our help. And that's what this season is about. We're sliding into the holiday season where we all start thinking about not just Black Friday, folks. Let's think about other things going on. I want to also mention that upcoming on KHOI, stay tuned, folks. There's going to be a KHOI holiday on-air auction. There was an on-air.
Another place to buy gifts, right?
Another place to.
And give back to the community.
Give back to the community and give back to KHOI. Keep this fine radio station on the air. There was a KHOI on-air auction earlier in the fall. This is stuff that you might want to consider giving as a gift, or you'll go to this website at www.khoifm.org and go to the auction site there. There's pictures of things there. They are organizing things right as we speak. It will be beginning December 5th and runs for a while. So you can think about Christmas gifts.
Well, and I want to say, from the Donna Lana Kitchen, one of the auction items will be 2 pounds of homemade fudge, fruit and nut fudge, which will make wonderful gift-giving options, let me tell you.
And don't be bad about nibbling away. That's some of that good sugar. That is good. Donna makes a really, really good
dark fudge. So lower sugar content and lots of fruits and nuts in it. And I use it organic ingredients. And it'll be in a 2 pound block, which you can then cut up and parcel out as gifts to people, or eat the whole thing yourself if you
your want. Discretion how you want to cut up that
it stays in the refrigerator very well, and I personally like having a small square of it for breakfast.
A fine recommendation.
Yes
And there is something from me. They look for the package of holiday cards and stuff from the farm, from Onion Creek Farm, and yeah, there'll be lots of things there. That starts December 5th. So we'll be talking about that some more. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find us here live at noon on Tuesdays, and we're repeated 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Thanks to Ingrid Anderson for joining us today. You can find out more about Donna Lana Kitchen and more at khoifm.org. And support this fine radio station. Become a member. Thank you for joining us today. Have a healthy and happy Thanksgiving. My name is Lana Nuffigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Fine Engineering by Mike Murphy. As usual, thank you. Eat good food and enjoy life.